Well, the Athenian fleet reappeared. It entered the bay unexpectedly, caught most of the Spartan, or I should say, Peloponnesian ships on the beaches, captured them, dragged them away, and now cut off the Spartan forces on the island of Sphacteria as the Athenian ships sailed around the island, waving to the Spartans now trapped on that island, cut off from their naval support. The fortress of Demosthenes, of course, was reinforced. Well, at this point, the Peloponnesians, and particularly the Spartans, are ready to negotiate. They hand over the remaining ships that weren't taken as surety during an extended armistice, and they send an embassy to Athens with full powers to negotiate. This is the first serious negotiation since the war had erupted. And Thucydides goes through some time explaining this set of negotiations for several reasons. One, the Athenians were given a chance to negotiate out of a ruinous war. And in 425 BC, it had been ruinous. Financially and demographically, the Athenians had suffered. Even the Spartans, especially those envoys, in the speeches attributed to them by Thucydides, stressed the fact that all sides have taken really serious losses. But Thucydides, and we're not sure if he's editorializing on this, Thucydides gives us the distinct impression in the words of the Spartans that the Spartans attributed their defeat not so much to Athenian seamanship as bad luck. And the word tuche, tyche, or as it's usually anglicized, fortune, chance, is replete in all of their words, and the Spartans urged the Athenians to consider a peace, essentially going back to the 30 years' peace, in the hope that they could get their citizens off the island and perhaps get their fleet back. The negotiations become quite protracted, and at this point, Cleon asserts himself in the assembly again, and with far more effect than he did over the debate of Mytilene a year and a half earlier. Thucydides despised Cleon, and it's clear in the passage that he tells us about Cleon's actions in the assembly. Cleon's interest in negotiating essentially were for the Spartans to make major concessions, and he increased those concessions to the point where negotiations broke down. These included territorial concessions. The Spartans not only had to recognize the integrity and sovereignty of the Athenian Empire, they had to recognize all territorial losses, notably the Corinthian colonies that had been captured, Athenian rights in the Chalcidice, and then began to make demands on the Peloponnesians for the return of territories that the Athenians had occupied in the First Peloponnesian War, such areas as Achaea, which was aligned to Athens back in the 450s. And all of these concessions were really quite beyond the current status quo of the war. In effect, the Peloponnesians would have to hand over areas that they had recovered under the 30 years' peace. Well, at this point, the Spartans had no choice but to break off the negotiations. This was not a serious set of negotiations. But the significant point, and the point that probably troubled Thucydides the most, the Athenian assembly approved of these demands, and there was a feeling that the Spartans really hadn't been defeated enough, that the attitude of the Spartans at the negotiation was really not the type of attitude which would ensure the preservation of a peace, that this would be a peace that would be signed simply because the Spartans were concerned about their citizens on the island. And therefore, the Athenian assembly empowered the generals of the year to take operations and secure those men on the island. That once those Spartans had been captured on Sphacteria, then you could expect serious negotiations from the Spartans. Now, Nicias was general in the year, and he was put in charge of the operations. And by the time he arrived at Pylos, at Sphacteria, to be more accurate, the island, the season was well advanced. It was turning into fall. And as I mentioned in previous lectures, it's very difficult for ancient ships to maintain a naval blockade, particularly once the sailing conditions deteriorate. And even in the restricted bay of Pylos or Navarino, it would be very difficult to mount a guard around that island that would prevent people from bringing food in to those Spartans. And the Spartans did everything they could. They offered freedom to helots. There's stories of divers, you know, diving and swimming there, carrying all sorts of provisions. And as the weather began to turn against the Athenians, it looked as if those guys would eventually escape. And all hopes of capturing them and forcing the Spartans to make a real peace would escape.